In this episode, discover what gets shared 20 times more frequently on LinkedIn than anything else.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery. Brought to you by Wirebuzz.
Heyo! Look, a special thank you to all of you who've congratulated me on the 7th anniversary of Wirebuzz. You know, I will always remember October 2017. This was literally the hardest month I've ever been a business owner. I learned a lot. I got my ass kicked. Like how hard it is to have people congratulate you on social media and then have it bounce to all your devices when you feel like you're failing. And really, the reality is I'm not anywhere close to failing. I just got my ass kicked a little bit. And every business owner, every entrepreneur knows that you go through a difficult month. You have so many great months, so many months where we've just crushed it. And then a month where we just stumbled a little bit. Nothing with clients. Clients love us. Well, as a business owner, you live and die on cash flow, right? And you know, some stories you're able to tell and I love to bring to the mic and some that I can't. And in October, I experienced every emotion. And if you heard the episode where I went to Philadelphia, oh boy, that was the start, but I didn't know it yet. I crashed emotionally on that trip. Far too much traveling when I was in Philadelphia. And if you ever spent too much time on the road working, you know exactly what I mean. Across each of our lives, there are unbelievable moments that we get to share and tell others about. And there are also moments that you'll really never be able to share in order to protect people. You know, I went through a really crazy, perfect storm of a month, and I'm just now starting to rise back up like a champion. And as I struggle, I retain my class and composure going through it. A very special, heartfelt thank you to my wife, Wendy, who patiently reminded me each and every day that faith finds beauty in everything. And if you're faithful, you have a commitment to find beauty in every situation, and I'm seeing the beauty really clearly right now. And I am so grateful, really, really grateful. On the last 5 episodes of this podcast, I've been telling you about how bad Google Glass and spectacles are and why nobody reacts well when having a camera pointed in their face. I keep telling you about it because I know how users feel like glass holes after they see people reacting to them wearing technology that has a camera pointed right at their face unsolicited, right? And now there are fake tech gurus raving about products that'll never garner mainstream adoption. None bigger than Robert Scoble, who is often seen embracing, promoting new technologies like Google Glass and spectacles and VR headsets, all the crap that won't be viable for the public for a decade, right? Any of us could jump on board a fad that looks like cool, trendy technology, and any of us could get excited as the technology rolls out. But the reality is always where the rubber meets the road, and Scoble has been off track for a while. And now this, tech evangelist Robert Scoble has resigned as a partner of the VR AR startup Transformation Group. He resigned following multiple allegations from women claiming that he had sexually assaulted them at tech events. Look, nothing is sexy at a tech event. Being stuck somewhere in a random city, there's nothing sexy about that. And as somebody who's on the road all the friggin' time, you have to carry your class and your integrity each and everywhere you go. Character is who you are in the dark when no one's looking. As a man who was raised by his 2 older sisters and also has 2 younger sisters, it's obvious to me that Scoble's actions are pathetic. I'll make sure that the article's on the show notes page for this episode, wirebuzz.com/128. I have tech industry friends who are close friends with him. You know, I see their Facebook photos together all the time. And after reading the allegations from women, I think he's a dirtbag, really. And his instincts about how he treats women and his tech instincts, I think, are poor. And I haven't said anything about it in the past when our mutual friends, which of course are women, mind you, those are the only people I know that know him directly, that know him well. And they've all raved about Scoble's genius, and I've always remained silent. I've always bit my tongue on his tech predictions. I knew nothing about the way he acts around women. I've actually never seen him in a social setting, but there's nothing genius about embracing technology that isn't ready for prime time. His physical actions, as explained by his accusers, are deplorable. And that's all I've got to say about that. If you want to read about Scoble's multiple allegations, the show notes page. It deserves to see the light of day. Wirebuzz.com/128. Oh, snap. Speaking of obviously useless technology, Silicon Beat reports hundreds of thousands of unsold, unwanted spectacles are sitting in Snap's warehouse, according to a new report suggesting the company's first dive into hardware wasn't as successful as they were hoping for. Now piles of spectacles, trendy glasses that shoot short bursts of video to be shared via social media are laying around either fully assembled or in parts to anonymous people close to the company told the information. Now that doesn't quite fit with CEO Evan Spiegel's recent assertion that the company has sold more than 1,500 spectacles, exceeding expectations and blowing away Snap's early goal of matching the 1,000 units Apple sold for its first iPod. While it's hard to tell exactly where Snap stands on the spectacles front, the company reported to the Securities and Exchange Commission as of June 30th, it had $29 million in hardware inventory, which likely relates to spectacles. And so far, spectacle sales appear to have pulled in as much as $18 million. Now, if you're a frequent listener to this podcast, you'll remember a few months before Snap's IPO, I told you that there was a marketing executive at Snap that left the company because he said Snap was cooking their audience numbers to prove the perception that they were much larger than they were in reality. And I told you about that on this very podcast. Then a couple of months later, a week before Snap's IPO, I told you that I was not going to be buying Snap stock because there would be a market correction. And the market will determine what the real value and worth of Snap and its audience actions are going to be. Snap IPO'd at $24 a share, and now, after the market correction, Snap stock price is resting towards the bottom at $14.59 as I record. And to give you a sense of perspective, Facebook stock today is at $171 a share. Facebook is also in the news. And Mashable is reporting, for all of its investment in video, Facebook is still very much behind many other platforms in one important way, 4K, which is UHD. That may be slowly starting to change as the social network is finally beginning to experiment with 4K video uploads, more than 7 months after YouTube first began testing 4K. Up until now, Facebook has only supported 4K for live 360-degree videos, itself a relatively recent phenomenon. But the social network hasn't supported the format for normal video uploads and live streaming, and man, is it time. You're behind the eight ball, Facebook. All you Zuckerbergers out there need to make sure that you're evolving ahead of the curve if you want to continue to be the go-to place for advanced digital marketers like me. And that may finally be starting to come to change. The company is starting to test 4K video support by giving a small group of profiles, including yours truly, and pages, the ability to upload 4K at 2160p, right? That's the resolution quality. 2160p, the same standard as 4K Ultra HD TV sets, as TechCrunch reports. Now, Facebook won't say, and this comes directly from Mashable now, Facebook won't say if or when it plans to expand the upload support to more accounts. But the current test should be a promising sign to content creators like me and maybe even you. If it's coming much later than many would have liked, you can get access to that article on the show notes page. So let's talk about Facebook's newsfeed. In Silicon Beat, I saw Facebook is telling publishers to chill out, man, just relax, about the test it's conducting that separates content into two newsfeeds. The test being done in Sri Lanka, Bolivia, Slovakia, Serbia, Guatemala, Colombia, everywhere that you aren't, puts news and other promoted content in a different feed from posts by Facebook users. And it set off speculation that Facebook will soon start charging publishers and businesses to reach audiences on the world's largest social platform. There is no current plan to roll out beyond these test countries. And this is a direct quote coming from Adam Morrissey, the head of Newsfeed at Facebook. There are no current plans, he says, to roll this out beyond these test countries or to change pages on Facebook to pay for all their distribution in the newsfeed or explore. Morrissey goes on to say, unfortunately, some have mistakenly made that interpretation, but that was not our intention. Look, in a recent episode, I told you about how the next great phase for apps is going to be about integration and their functionality. Now, we'll get to that in just a moment, all right? But as we're talking about Facebook, I want you to know Facebook's biggest problem is ad inventory. Oh, excuse me. They've got plenty of ads, but they have their problem is newsfeed available space for the ad inventory that they have, okay? So if they create multiple feeds, then all of a sudden they've just freed up that problem, really. If you understand their problems, you can see what their next solution is, right? And in a recent episode, I told you about the next phase for great apps is going to be integrating your app into other apps' functionalities, right? We've already kind of got the base introduction, like the starter for all of these apps. But now the real pain that's being solved is the pain that the apps created. So what is that? Well, I want you to think about... Well, you may recall I explained, how my friend who leads Apple's iOS team just did a beautiful job integrating into their text messaging apps the functionality of ESPN scores, Apple Maps, and a long list of other apps that fit hand in glove with Apple's Messages app on iOS. So when my dad asked me what channel the game is on, or what's the score of the University of Arizona basketball game, or what time does the game start from inside of Messages, I can send him that info from ESPN that actually is like now built, integrated inside of the Messages app. And that's pretty awesome, right? So you see what your business takeaway is right now? Start thinking ridiculously about your team, about your product or your service. And I'm giving you permission to think way out of the box, get a little crazy. And when you think ridiculously and you do it with others, tell everyone in the room that while we're thinking ridiculously, while we're going through a thinking ridiculously session, there is no judgment. Can't judge me. I can't judge you. We're going to spitball some crazy ideas. We're going to throw out crazy ideas. The crazier, the better. But the only way that you can allow crazy ideas to flow out of your brain is to create an environment of trust and confidentiality. And once everyone agrees to suspend judgment, and keep in mind, not everybody on your team can do that. So make sure you prune those people out of the room before you start thinking ridiculously, because there will be people that anchor you in reality, and they do not belong in a thinking ridiculously session, all right? The crazier, the better is the way you think, and it has to be a safe environment. And once everybody agrees to suspend that judgment and to start rapidly offering crazy ideas without filtering where your product or where your service could integrate with other services or other products, that's where the magic happens. And you'll be surprised by how much you laugh and how many fast, brilliant ideas are born. If you have the right people in the room and the right level of trust, you'll find business diamonds of opportunity everywhere in that conversation. And that is your business takeaway. And you now have been granted permission from me directly to start thinking ridiculously. Let me know what happens, all right? I'd love to hear about the diamonds that you discovered all over the place in your business. Thinking ridiculously is the dimension where brilliant businesses, creative concepts, and marketing campaigns are born. Now, in the interest of full disclosure, I was introduced to the concept, to the art, to the skill of thinking ridiculously by my client and friend, Austin Vickers, the writer and producer of People versus the State of Illusion, which is a docudrama based on his work, and The Science and Power of Perception and Imagination. I first met Austin in 2010, right around then, I'd say. Maybe it was 2011, when he approached me to lead the marketing for his soon-to-be-released docudrama. And I had never done the marketing for a movie before, but as you know, I've led digital marketing for 7 of the largest nationally syndicated talk shows in Hollywood before, so I wasn't worried about a movie. Movies are like, that's one event, dude. And it replicates each and every day. Movies are one event that keeps happening. Talk shows are based on new and different content each and every day. Which one sounds harder, right? And this was way, way back in the day, roughly the time that Marcus Krieg, our director of strategy, joined Wirebuzz. Because Austin's movie was being evaluated by international and domestic movie distributors. But what they were really doing is they were evaluating one theater, and then that information would be leading movie distributors to decide what to do with that movie. Should they buy it? Should they take it to the next level? So Austin hired us to help him sell out, get this, one movie theater over 3 days. And because we're super competitive, freakishly competitive digital marketers that understand guerrilla tactics really well, Wirebuzz ended up selling out 5 straight weeks for Austin's movie. And Austin's movie earned a fabulous international distribution deal from Samuel Goldwyn Films. How awesome is that? Austin's the one who taught Wirebuzz about the art of thinking ridiculously. And I wish you the very best results. If you haven't seen People versus the State of Illusion, I'll make sure I'll post on the show notes page for this episode, wirebuzz.com/128, the trailer for Austin's movie. It'll be on the show notes page. So for the 3rd podcast episode in a row, I need to talk about this next phase that I'm calling the inter-app connectivity phase. It's just like what Apple iOS 11 did with Messages and ESPN. It's going on everywhere, and you need to be thinking ridiculously about your business and the interconnectivity with other people's products or services. But what's really cool about this is Gmail just makes its first appearance on the podcast. Yo, yo, Gmail, what is up? You know I love you, baby. Now check this out. Mashable's reporting Gmail is getting some branded new enterprise tools so users can get work done without even leaving their inboxes. So just rewind with a second. This inter-app connectivity phase is really about the pain that each and every one of your users feels when they go into an app and they're using it, and then they got to pull out of that app, open up another app, get what they need, and then close that app, and then go back to the original app. That is friggin' brain damage, right? Especially when you're juggling 1,000 tasks, all you need are 4 more steps. So that's where the inter-app connectivity phase comes in. And Google announced today it's going to be introducing new Gmail add-ons for a slew of work productivity apps, including Trello, Asana, DocuSign, Intuit, QuickBooks, all of them we use here at Wirebuzz. The apps work natively within Gmail, meaning you won't have to leave your inbox to get any work done. And these add-ons are mostly aimed at businesses and business users looking to delegate tasks throughout their organization or with freelancers. But everyday users might find some use of these new extensions. For example, I love the one that Wistia just rolled out. It's genius, right? We talked about it on a past episode. Inside of the Wistia inside of your Gmail, you can connect your Wistia app through a plugin and now pull your videos directly into your email and send them off to your prospects. And when somebody clicks on one of those images that has a play button that looks like a video, hallelujah, they get to your landing page and they start watching that video. Super awesome. Gmail add-ons are going to give you greater transparency with other tools. And how awesome is that? Speaking of transparency, Twitter said it would allow anyone to see and who purchased an ad on its platform, including the identity of the purchaser and how the ad targeting is used. The preemptive move comes as U.S. lawmakers are considering a bill that would force tech companies like Twitter, like Facebook, like YouTube, to disclose political ads. Remember, I've been telling you about this disclosure that's coming because each of these giants of tech have been meddling in the political process. They've been choosing winners and losers. Oh, and when that happens, Washington gets very, very pissed off. And when Washington gets pissed off, what do? They regulate the snot out of your business, and good luck trying to get a profit once that snot is built into your system. Now, the sooner you start thinking about laying your cards upright, being transparent, the easier it is for people to trust you. And winning the trust battle is vital for every business, whether you decide to close off, hide, or be deceptive. When you do those and you make those decisions, you're losing. And when you side with the opposite, which is being transparent, laying your cards on the table, you're siding with freedom. You're being open. You're shining the light on it. And when you do that, you win and everyone wins, like we see in Las Vegas. With the Las Vegas shooting, when the information doesn't come out, conspiracies run wild, right? I've been telling you about the censorship problem that's going to happen on Facebook and how the big Zuck was leaning towards censorship. And we've seen it now with famous political figures being censored or banned on Twitter. What that ends up doing, I told you earlier, is el beso de la muerte, the kiss of death. Because half your audience in this digital age where 50% have an R after their name and 50% of us have an L after their name, 50% of your customer base, as soon as you start censoring, will start hating, will start creating conspiracy theories. So lay your cards upright, have the same rules for everyone, and it is a win-win along the way. Facebook is currently trialing a resume feature, according to the screenshots posted on social media. Similar to LinkedIn, the feature lets users list their professional experience and education as well as their contact details, an image, and other information. Now, the new feature appears to combine all of the relevant information into a single professional-looking package away from your personal photos or your status updates and other Facebook posts that people may not wish to share with recruiters or the wider world. Now, it's not clear how many people currently have access to the new resume feature, but I'll make sure that you get access to the full story from Business Insider on the show notes page. Facebook now lets you order food without leaving Facebook. Oh, thank God. I don't have to do anything, right? Just do it on Facebook. Users can now order food or takeout or delivery using their Facebook mobile phone app and website. Company is partnering with services like Grubhub, Delivery, DoorDash, Chow Now, and a variety of others to make this wonderful thing happen. Now, my wife and I live a 5-minute drive from the greatest ice cream cookie sandwich place in the world. And though we aren't dessert people, we sure do love an ice cream sandwich. It is my kryptonite, all right? And I know each and every night around 8 o'clock, in my mind, I'm like, dude, we got to get an ice cream sandwich sent here. And now that you can, and we never do it. We always talk ourselves out. We give ourselves a caloric substitute, like eat an orange, go to bed. But that's all about app interconnectivity, right? I want you to pay special attention to that. That's why I've been spotlighting it throughout this episode. LinkedIn is finally selling autoplay video ads. Finally, pushing the ad platform into video advertising. Ads will look like other LinkedIn videos that users can watch in their feed and will autoplay without sound. Now, the reasons are video performs better on its service than any other type of content, LinkedIn said. Really? What a surprise. Welcome to 2017. Welcome to 2010, LinkedIn. It's been a foregone conclusion. And LinkedIn said video posts are shared 20 times more frequently than other types of posts. If you want to magnify, exponentially grow, use video, even on platforms like LinkedIn. Video ads are usually more expensive than other types of ads, which means companies can make more by selling them. How cool is that? All right, your business takeaway is go to LinkedIn, use the tools, and start figuring out how you can amplify your message 20 times using the power of video on LinkedIn. Circle back to me if you've got any tips or tricks on how you're doing that on LinkedIn. I'll make sure to tell people in the next coming episodes, all right? Look, our team just got back from Toronto. It's been some crazy weeks. Toronto, Nashville, New Orleans. Coming up this weekend, a shoot here in Phoenix and, oh boy, San Jose and San Francisco. Two separate trips happening the week coming up. It is crazy town, busy here at Wirebuzz. A special thanks to our friends at Gold Rush Jeeps, to Garrett Fry for reaching out to me. He's got also a video marketing agency. It's so awesome to hear what all of you are doing out there. You're changing the paradigm. And from what I'm hearing from people like Garrett and everybody that sends me an email, it's friggin' obvious that you have to lay out a smart digital strategy before your videos are going to be effective. More on that coming up from Wirebuzz. We're going to make it more and more obvious for ways that we can help you make sure that you guarantee your projects generate an ROI. And if you want to get access to my secrets of guaranteeing that your videos and your clients' projects routinely get an ROI, well, we created a 5-part video-based mini course, and you can get access to it on our website, wirebuzz.com/ROI. It is just that easy, wirebuzz.com/ROI. And each day for 5 days, I will send you a short video that teaches you the next step of my secrets to making sure that your video projects are profitable. If this podcast episode was valuable to you, do me a favor, go to iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play, bang on that subscribe button, leave me a very honest rating and review. And right now, behind the scenes, I'm working on a really powerful next episode. Thank you for being patient with me. I just went through a shitstorm, coming out smelling like a rose, which is really hard to do after a storm like that. And on top of it, I have learned so much about myself, about people, about the human spirit, and the ability to overcome and to triumph through adversity. Again, thank you for being patient. I know I've been off my cycle of producing these podcast episodes, but Lord knows I'm back better than ever and looking forward to helping you evolve into a video marketing master.